can only go so far with this. So we're just going to leave that there, and hopefully we'll do all right with it. Let's continue with an attitude of prayer as the teens head to their class, the kids head to their class. Lord, we thank you that you are on the throne and that there is nothing that surprises you. As a matter of fact, you ordained it. You knew it would come to be. So Lord, even as we come together today, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would open our eyes that we would see. You would open our ears that we would hear. You would open our hearts, remove the veil from our hearts, that we would understand. You would build faith, and you would strengthen us, your people, and continue to build your kingdom as we look to you to make change in our hearts, make change in our lives, make change in our minds. Lord, our circumstances are what they are, but our view of them can be better. And we look to you, Father, to give us wisdom and understanding into your heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be talking about paradigms today. A paradigm is, it's a standard, okay? It's a perspective, a set of ideas. We, as Christians, we have a standard, right? We have a perspective, a biblical perspective. At least we should, okay? And we have certainly have a set of ideas, that which is laid out in Scripture for us. Amen? Amen. We have those ideas that Jesus set forth in the Gospels. Paul reiterated them, and the foundation of the church was created, but God set them in place in eternity past. They're his ways. Paradigm is a way of looking at something, and a paradigm shift is a new way of looking at something. Look at a coin. It's one coin, but there are two sides. There's the heads, there's the tail. It's the same coin, but there are two ways of looking at it. You could either have the heads or you could have the tails. We've used them for years to make decisions, right? How do we look at it? Matthew 5:45 tells us that God causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. Now, remember the parable of the wheats and tares? Jesus taught about the parable of the wheats and tares, where the farmer went out and he sowed seed, and the wheat started to grow. But the workers saw that there were weeds and tares growing up with it. And they asked the farmer, should we go out and rip up those weeds? He said, no. Let them grow together, because if you rip up those weeds, you might damage some of the wheat. All right. We're the wheat. Those of the world are the tares. We grow together and live together in this world, but God is not going to rip up and discard the tares because what? One time we were a tare. Yeah. And if he ripped up those tares, we would be lost forever. And there are millions of people that are lost and need to hear the gospel. So we're not about to go out and rip that up. All right, he causes the sun to rise on the good and evil. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. And how many of us like rain, struggles, difficulties? There's two hands right there. You love rain. I thought you were saying, yeah, difficulties, yeah, struggles. How many of us have not experienced, if not one of these, a lot of these? Betrayals, broken relationships, rejection. God speaking to me personally about that over the past few weeks. Rejection in my life. Abandonment. Our own failures. Sin. How about when things don't go our way? We have a way, a set idea of how we see things should go, and it doesn't go that way. What do we do with that? What do we do? Do we panic? Unmet expectations, even abuse, whether it be physical, emotional, and God forbid, sexual. we all struggle with things, and we all have problems. And today, I would like to, I didn't realize I had those on there. I'm going to leave them up for a second. It's a standard of perspective. I would like us to view the struggles and the problems that we have from a new perspective. All right, God tells us in his word how we're to think on these things. Amen? We all face difficulties. In this world, John 16:33, in this world, you will, Jesus said, you will, not you might. Amen? In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Amen? And he told us that we are more than overcomers in him. All right? We will have troubles. We'll experience trials. 1 Peter 4:12 tells us, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial that you are suffering as though something strange were happening to you. I love the word of God. It's like Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, and he came out of the wilderness, and scripture said, and he was hungry. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And he's like, okay, yeah, I would be hungry too, 40 days and 40, and he was hungry. You know, and this, don't be surprised at the painful trials that you're going to suffer through as though something strange were happening to you. It's common to every man. We're going to go through trials. We're going to have struggles. Jesus said in John 15:18, if the world hates you, keep in mind, it hated me first, right? And no servant is greater than his master. Amen? Failures, 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And when you are tempted, amen, he will also provide a way out, all right? And he's not going to take it away. He's going to provide a way out. Who can shout out the last words of that? He's going to provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. He'll provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. He's not going to take it away. It's still going to be there. But he's going to give you the grace and the ability to be able to perceive it and look at it in a different way so that you can handle it. All right? It's still going to be there. In this world, you will have trouble. We will face sufferings. Matthew 7:24-27, the parable of the building your house on the rock or on the sand, right? When the storms come, the house that was built on the sand crumbled. But when the storms came, the house that was built on the rock stood. Amen? Napoleon Hill said, most great people have attained their greatest success just one step beyond their greatest failure. Amen? Most great people have attained their greatest success just one step beyond their greatest failure. We all struggle with hurts. Jesus tells us again, Luke 21, you will be betrayed even by your parents, brothers, relatives, friends, and they will even put you to death. How's that for encouragement? You will be betrayed by parents, brothers, sisters, and some of you will be put to death by your parents, brothers, and sisters. And we see that happening. If a Muslim turns to Christianity, his family, they have a responsibility given to them religiously and spiritually to eliminate the infidel, which we as Christians are to the radical Muslim, Islamic Muslim faith. I see it in Judaism. I see people who are Jewish who come to know the Lord and accept Jesus Christ, Yeshua, as their Messiah, and I see their families turn on them. Their families will just totally abandon them. And they don't exist. Families will betray one another. Even in the early centuries, as Jews were turning to Christ, as Hebrews were turning to the Messiah, families would betray one another, and we all know what history has shown us through the first three centuries of the Christian church. Great persecution, a lot of martyrdom, a lot of people killed in the Colosseum. Either they got their heads chopped off or they were eaten by lions. And we still see it in the news today. Christians being beheaded for their faith, all right? Corrie ten Boom said, the object of your deepest pain can lead to your greatest calling. How many of us have experienced deep pain, hurt? And I see every hand raised in your heart. Because we all have. We all have experienced disappointments, pain, and difficulties. Even more fun than that, how exciting is this? This is an encouraging word. Trust me, it gets better, okay? It's almost like presenting the gospel. We really cannot present the hope of salvation if we clearly have not laid out our desperate condition in our sin without Jesus Christ. If you don't know how desperate you are without the love of Christ, without the salvation of Christ, without the blood of Christ, if you don't know where your destiny is and how depraved you really are and how your heart will lead you astray every time, if you don't understand the total condition of your lostness without Christ, then what does a salvation message mean to you? You know, you don't feel lost, you don't feel hopeless, so why do you even need a Savior? The paradigm shift that we're going to make, I need to introduce first off our identities with our struggles, our identities with our pains and our failures, so that we can make that paradigm shift. We've all had them. We've all had them. Proverbs 3, 11 to 12. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because while the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father, the son he delights in. Amen. His discipline comes because he loves us. Now, when we were children growing up and we got disciplined by our fathers, who we hope loved us, and it was discipline and love and not abuse, I experienced the latter the first 4 years of my life before my dad left my mother. But every beating was in anger, because I either made a failure or he just came home drunk and wanted to beat on someone. Okay? So that discipline from a father, really messed me up for quite a few years. But God disciplines us from love. His discipline for us is to purify us and to correct us in the direction that we're going. We're going in a way that's not of his way, and he wants us to go his way because there's blessing in it. There's goodness in it. We keep rebelling against it, and we go to what would be the right word for this one? We go to Learn How to Obey 101. It's a class in school. We all sign up for it, whether we like to or not. We're all part of it. Learning to Obey 101. And God will bring situations into your lives to teach you to obey. And if you fail, guess what? You go back into Learning to Obey 101. And you go through more lessons. And if you continue to fail, then you go right back into, oh, here I am again. Which class? Okay, room 233. Okay, 101, Learning to Obey. You kind of get that down, and then there's Learning to Die to Yourself 101. Learning to Love Your Enemy 101. And we all go through these learning classes that teach us of his ways, and he disciplines us so that we might learn his ways. And it's wonderful. Hebrews 12, 5 through 11. And have you forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as my sons, which refers back to the scripture I just read in Proverbs 3, 11, 12? And do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as a disciple. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. That's a heavy statement. Moreover, we all have had human fathers who disciplined us. We respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while they thought what was best. But God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. But later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Job 5:17, blessed is the one whom God corrects. So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. Amen. We all face troubles, and there are times when God has to move in and work correction. Sometimes he'll speak to us directly. Sometimes it'll be circumstances and situations in our lives. Sometimes it'll be through your pastoral care or elders or a brother and a sister. Sometimes you'll even hear it from your children. You know, those of us who are parents long enough know, you know, every once in a while your kid will say something and it's like, all right, Lord, I hear you. Okay. Enough of the bad. Into the good. I hear one amen. Two, three, four. Can I get five? Can I get five? Five, six, seven, 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 eight, seven, eight, seven, eight. Okay. We must renew the way we think. It's really that simple. All right? Let's think about what did we learn last week? What did Joe Jansen tell us that Jesus was trying to do with Peter? Right? Peter was a fisherman. He was rough. He was rugged, right? And what was he trying to do? He was training him. He was walking with him with all of his disciples. And what he was doing, he was pulling the apostle out of the fisherman. We heard that last week, right? God's trying to do that. He's trying to pull the apostle, the leader, the son, the daughter, the pastor, the teacher, all right? Whatever your calling is, he's trying to pull that out of who you used to be. Because your identity now is in Christ, not in who you once were. Amen? It's like a statue. All right, you see these beautiful statues that are made, but the creator of that particular statue, after it's completed, you know, sees a hunk of rock, and he sees into that and sees what he can make out of it. I tried that. I'm an architect. I am not a, what do they call those guys? Sculptor. I'm not a sculptor. No. As a matter of fact, when I love art and I always drew and I always love drawing, but I'm not really that good. Bob and Luke are excellent drawers. You can ask them. I'm not really that good. And when I found out I could make money drawing and they gave me tools to help keep the line straight, right? I was like, okay, that's for me. I love drawing and I can actually make money drafting. That is, you know, so I was able to do what I loved and even have help along the way with tools and instruments. Now I got AutoCAD. That's even better, all right? In 1 Peter 2:5, Peter tells us we are like living stones built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, amen? We are living stones. The funny thing, do you ever see quarries where big, huge chunks of stones are mined to where they prepare them and bring them onto the job site to be placed into the building, okay? The mining, the digging out, the breaking of the stone, the jackhammers and the cranes all happen in the quarry. The stone gets lifted out and gets placed on the ground, and whoever the designer is looks at the stone and says, it's a little rough edge, take it off. You know, this has got to be rounded a little bit. You know, get the jackhammer and let's soften, let's get this going. And that's what God does to us. He takes us out of our roughness and he knocks off the edges and he gets that stone prepared. And he knows exactly where he wants to put it. And when it's time to construct the building, those stones are brought to the construction site and no work is done on it anymore. It's lifted and put in place. Next one is lifted and put in place. All the work happens back in the quarry. That's life. This is life. When we move on and become part of the temple of the living stones. We go on to be with the Lord, and he puts us right where he wants us. But all of the hard work happens in the quarry. We are like living stones. Look at the same situation as Job's life. He had it really very good. Wife, many children, very wealthy. God bragged on him, and Satan said, he only worships you because you've been so good to him. Let me take it away from him. And God said, okay, you just can't take his life. So everything was taken away from him. Same situation. Children are dead. Businesses, crops, camels, everything's gone. Gone. He's got nothing. What's his response? What's his wife's response? His wife's response is, why don't you just curse God and die? And Job says, no, God is faithful, and I will trust in him. Amen? Same situation, different reactions. Same coin, two different sides. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. We grow up and we live amongst those in the world. We are not of the world, but we are in the world. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are citizens of heaven. We are God's sons and daughters. We belong to him. We are his ambassadors. We represent him. We have another country that we represent. We are in the world, but we are not of the world, and we represent the heavenly kingdom. Therefore, our mind must be in the heavenly kingdom. You heard the expression, they're so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. And to an extent, that can be true. But we really need to be heavenly minded in order to be earthly good. Because if we don't take God's kingdom principles and carry them with us in this world, the world's going to eat us alive. And we're not going to represent our Lord the way we should represent our Lord. So we need to be heavenly minded. Don't conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do we renew our minds? By the washing of the water of the word. Amen? Because why? We know that God works all things out for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Amen? We should no longer think the way the world thinks. Matthew 16:23, we referenced this earlier. Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan." Right after, Jesus asked them, "Who am I?" And Peter said, "You're the Messiah, the chosen one of God." Peter said, "Blessed are you, Peter, because man didn't reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven did." And right after that, and on this truth, the truth that Christ is the Messiah, my church will be built. Right after that, Jesus said, "And now I'm going to go to Jerusalem and be crucified." And Peter's like, "No way. No, we're not going to. No, I'm going to die with you, whatever it takes." And Jesus, "No, get behind me, Satan." Right? Why? Where was I? You don't have in mind the things of God, but you have in mind the things of men. We need to shift our perspective to God's perspective, not man's perspective. Amen? Philippians 3:19, their destiny is destruction. The people of the world, those who refuse to come to Christ, those who are of the world. Their God is their stomach, their glory is their shame. Where's their mind? On earthly things. Their mind is on earthly things. We have to change the way we think. Get into the word, understand how God thinks, read his perspective, and change our mind to agree with him. Don't barter with God. Don't, you know, well, God, you know, kind of try to, you know, like, what's that new TV station called Buzzer? And the other day we were watching Let's Make a Deal, right? You don't want to make a deal with God. God is the God of the universe. He knows what's good. He knows what's right. He knows what's best. We don't. We're finite. He's infinite. He has already established who the next president will be 4 years from now. He knew who was going to win last week's election. And you know what? He ordained it. Yeah. Okay? He's in control. Do we trust him? Or do we trust CNN or Fox and the pundits who were so confident there was no way he could win? And look, here we are. And why God chose him, why God has had President Obama the past 8 years, it's his choice. Amen? Is our trust in God? Is our trust in man? Is our trust in what he's going to accomplish? Because he causes kingdoms to rise, he causes kingdoms to fall. He sets kings in place, he removes kings. All to accomplish his plan for the ultimate return of the Lord Jesus Christ to set up his kingdom on earth. So even if you didn't vote for President-elect Trump, he's still God's choice, because that's who's there to bring about his plan, to bring about his will, to bring about his purpose, to accomplish the return, eventual return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can trust in him. Our hope is in the Lord. We need to think on his ways. Tom, you touched on this, I don't know how many months ago, Colossians chapter 3. You don't remember the Sunday, the date, the time? Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Philippians, I believe this is 4:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's actually in chapter 2. That's in chapter 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We have to have the mind of Christ. We need a heavenly perspective, not a worldly perspective. Okay? The only way to get the heavenly perspective is to read his word and understand what his will is. Amen? Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on such things. Amen? We need to change the way we look at things, which was, here we go, turn it on.
Horatio Spafford was a well-known lawyer and businessman in Chicago in the 1860s. Where he lived with his wife Anna and their 5 children. He had invested heavily in real estate along the shores of Lake Michigan. He was a prosperous man and a devout Christian. However, in 1870, a series of events began to turn Horatio's world upside down. That year, Horatio and Anna's only son died of scarlet fever at the tender age of only 4. A year later, while the Spaffords were still grieving the loss of their son, the Great Chicago Fire broke out and destroyed nearly every one of Horatio's investments. His entire life savings was gone. Aware of the toll these disasters had taken on his family, Horatio decided to take his wife and 4 daughters on a holiday to England, where they planned to accompany the famous evangelist D.L. Moody on his next crusade. However, just before they set sail, a last-minute business development forced Horatio to delay. Not wanting to ruin the family holiday, he persuaded his family to go on as planned, and he would follow along later. With this decided, Horatio stayed in Chicago while Anna and the girls boarded the French steamship Ville du Havre to set sail for England. But several days later, Horatio received devastating news. The Ville du Havre had been struck by an iron sailing vessel from England. The ship sank in only 12 minutes, claiming the lives of 226 passengers. It was the worst disaster in naval history until the sinking of the HMS Titanic 40 years later. The next day, he received a telegraph from Anna from Wales. It read these six words: "Survived alone. What should I do?" The Spaffords' four daughters were among those who perished. After hearing the terrible news, Horatio boarded the next ship out of New York to join his bereaved wife. During his voyage, the captain of the ship called him to the bridge. "A careful reckoning has been made," he said, "and I believe we are now passing the very place where the Ville du Havre sank." And it was there, while staring into the watery grave of his beloved daughters, that Horatio penned the words to the great hymn, "It is well with my soul."
One, two, there we go. How many of us really would be at such peace with our God that we would be able to view all that has happened in this man's life at that time and be able to write and pen such words? So not only is the part of the solution is renewing the way we think, we have to be reminded that God's ultimate goal is to transform us into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? You are too valuable for him to waste his time. You're too valuable for him to pass you off and not invest in you. He invested his blood in you. You are precious. Every single one of us are precious in his sight. And he will do whatever it takes to transform us and make us more like Jesus. Even things like what Horatio Spafford had to experience. Are we ready for that? "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. But we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope." Paul reminds us in Ephesians that we were created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his son. And having this confidence that he who begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are too valuable an asset for God to not discipline you, to not allow these issues and situations to rise up in your life to cause you to possibly panic, to possibly fear, to possibly doubt, to transform your thinking that my hope is not in man, my hope is not in the patterns and the way of this world, my hope is in God. My hope is in God. And he will see us through. We have to relinquish control and totally trust God. Amen. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. We read this already. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will provide a way out so you can bear up under it. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary affliction are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporal, what is unseen is eternal. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Have I not commanded you? Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. This is a word God gave me, this word about 4 weeks ago. It's interesting that it's falling right on the heels of last Tuesday. We see how, we see in the news media, the fear of people. I saw the same thing 8 years ago, the fear of people when President Obama was elected. It was just people on the other side. People were like, oh, he's the Antichrist, the world's coming to an end. You know, here we are 8 years later, and now, you know. Our trust is in God, people. Is our trust in God? Or is our trust in the world and in men? No, our trust is in God. There isn't enough room in you for both fear and faith. You must decide which resides. Amen? I think I might even have these. Ha! I do. Amen? Is this right? Yes, we must substitute fear for faith. For fear is only inverted faith, right? It is faith in evil instead of good. Faith that the bad is going to happen. We're afraid that the bad is going to happen instead of trusting that the good is going to happen. God is on the throne. He didn't fall off when President-elect Trump got elected. He's still there, and he's going to be there. What do we have to worry about? God's got it all under control. One more video to drive this home.
Love is way too much to give us lesser things. What if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know your name? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? Pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. We cry in anger when we can't feel you're near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love.
As if every promise from your word is not.
And all the while, you hear his desperate plea. Although we have faith to believe. Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights? What it takes to know your name?
Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. It's a good question. What if your blessings come through raindrops? And what if your healing comes through tears? What if it takes a thousand sleepless nights just to know that he's near? We need to change our perspective. The trials of this life, the disappointments of this life, the betrayals and the hurts, God works it out for our good, and it's to bring us to where he wants us to be, to make us more like Christ. Amen. Dave, want to come to the piano? Life is tough. As Pastor Joe said last week, we all got stuff. Went up to a conference Monday, and that was the theme. You know, we all got stuff. You know, we all got stuff. This is a kind of word that touches us all, because we're all there. We're all there. We've all experienced disappointments, rejections, betrayals, hurts. Failures, death of loved ones, the list goes on and on and on. Even our own failures, not just what other people have done to us or situations in the world that we're struggling through, but even our own failures and how we disappoint ourselves. We can all identify with this. Don't leave today without the Lord touching you to renew your hope, to renew your strength, to renew your trust in Him. To not trust in the ways of this world, but to trust in Him. The altars are open. Come up for prayer. If you just want to come up and do business with the Lord yourself, altars are open. Kneel. If you've come today and you don't have a relationship with God, your eternal destiny is uncertain. You're not sure whether you're going to go to heaven or not. God wants to make that certain in your heart. Word tells us that our sin has separated us from God. There is none righteous, no, not one. But Christ came to bridge that unrighteous gap, and He is our righteousness. By His shed blood, He paid for all of our sin. And it's a free gift. All we have to do is receive it. Amen. Okay, you have some prayer ministers? Okay, we have some prayer ministers. Amen. Don't leave today without making sure that your eternal destiny is set in Christ. Without Christ, eternity out of His presence. It's not a fear tactic, it's the truth. It was a fear tactic when I was not in the Lord because I didn't want to burn in hell the rest of my life. I was selfish. I primarily got saved for fire insurance. I did not want to go to hell. And then God apprehended my heart. And I didn't realize there was so much more. His love is so abounding. He loved you so much. As if you were the only person in the world, He still would have paid the price and shed His blood. Even if He knew you would reject Him, He still would have come to earth for you to make a way. Don't leave today. Don't leave today without securing your eternal destiny. We want to pray with you. We have prayer ministers to encourage you, to strengthen you. For those who need to leave, we have fellowship on the other side, coffee and danishes if you want to stay. But let me pronounce this blessing. Now may the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May our Lord lift up His countenance towards you, and may our Lord grant you His peace. In the name of Jesus, leave encouraged, leave blessed. God bless you. Have a great day.